So awesome. We should want to worship him and not just worship him half-heartedly, but the Bible says enthusiastically is the exact idea that God is getting at. And it seems like, are you hearing me okay? Is that coming through? Everybody hear me okay? Okay, good. I didn't know if I was coming through the system or I'm just talking really loud right now. But I know I mentioned this before. We get all worked up at ball games. Things like that. We get all worked up over sports and we get loud and we get enthusiastic over things that really, in the grand scheme of things, don't matter all that much. And I've been guilty of it. If you've ever seen me as a coach or you've ever seen me as a parent, you know that I can have the tendency to get a little bit enthusiastic. That's the word that we'll use this morning. How many of you have been to a Little League game lately? And you've seen a coach, or better yet, you've seen Mama Bear in the stands when their little angel baby is called out when they didn't. Has anybody ever witnessed that and how loud that can be and how demonstrative that can be? I understand. I'm just naturally loud. I went into a local business this past week. I was having a conversation with the new owner, and apparently I was excited about what I was talking to her about, because as I was talking, she looks at me and she goes, "Ooh, you're awful loud." She said that to me, stopped me mid-sentence, went, "Ooh, you're awful loud." And what I wanted to say was, well, you know, I'm a preacher and I project when I talk, or I'm a singer and I got lungs and I project when I talk. What I wanted to say was, you think my voice is loud? My money is louder, and listen to it as it walks out the door, because I'm not going to. But Jesus wouldn't let me say that. That's what I wanted to say. Okay? We get loud and demonstrative and excited about so many things. And then sometimes, I'll be honest, we come into worship and we act like it's the last place we want to be. I've been guilty of it before, and I'm the preacher, goodness sakes. So I know you've struggled with that at times as well. The psalm we're looking at today says that God wants to be worshipped loudly. Look at what it says in Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, Psalm 100 is one of the most famous psalms in the entire Bible, and it tells us how God wants to be worshipped, and it tells us why He wants to be worshipped in this way. So we're going to take a look at this amazing psalm today and see how it speaks to us in our context, because last week we talked about the fact that God is always speaking to us, right? We might not hear that audible voice, but He's speaking to us through creation. He's speaking to us through His Word. And so if God is speaking to us, what is He saying to us today in this psalm? And so Psalm 100 begins with a very simple word. Shout for joy to the Lord. What's the first word here?
Shout.
I couldn't hear you. What was that?
Shout.
Oh, one more time. You're getting there.
Shout.
There you go. We should be worked up about shouting to the Lord with gladness. If we can get worked up over the Reds beating the Cubs by 9 runs... I need a minute. Hold on. If we can get worked up over stuff like that, why can't we get excited about coming into worshiping God? The psalm says, shout to the Lord, worship the Lord, do it with joyful songs, know that it is He who made us. And he says, no, he doesn't say think that God made us. He says, know that the Lord gave us. He doesn't say, well, we hope it was God who made us. We hope that we're right, that we didn't just evolve from some slime. Know that He made us. It doesn't say wonder about whether He made us or not. It says, know that He made us, know that He is good. And verse 3, it says, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. around the world over these next 24 hours. Some have already worshiped today, and some haven't worshiped yet. But over 2 billion people will gather to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why do we worship Him? Well, the first reason is this, because He is God. God wants us to worship Him every day because He is God. We gather to worship, however, on Sunday because we know that the Bible teaches us that Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday. It's the resurrection day, and so we meet on Sunday to worship God. Now, we're not limited to that day. The Bible teaches us that we can worship with our very lives. Everything that we do can be worship to God, but the precedent in the early church was that they came together on the first day of the week as a celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you cannot get excited about the Son of God having died and didn't stay dead, He came back to Christ, back to life, what can you get excited about? Huh? The reason we gather here is to worship the Lord. The Hebrew word for Lord is Yahweh. And the reason we worship Him is because He is God. The Bible says the Lord is God. There is a God in this world. And this isn't popular to say, but His name is not Krishna or Allah or Buddha. His name is Yahweh. It's the same Yahweh that spoke to Moses from the burning bush. It's the same Yahweh who sealed the mouths of the lions in Daniel. It's the same Yahweh that sent fire down on Mount Carmel. It's the same Yahweh that guided the children of Israel with a cloud by day and a fire by night. It's the same Yahweh who gave manna to the children of Israel. And He gives life to all people. He is the Lord, the psalm writer says, and He's worthy of our praise. We worship God because He is God. Can it get any more obvious than that? How many of you are Toy Story fans? Do you like the movie Toy Story? I love the Toy Story the series. And in one of the Toy Stories, you might remember when Woody and Buzz Lightyear get trapped in the machine that dispenses the little alien toys, and all of a sudden the claw starts moving. Remember that scene right there, and the claw starts moving, all the aliens are like, oh, you know, and they worship the claw. And why do they worship the claw? The only explanation they give is because, well, He's the claw, right? That's what the Bible says we ought to do. I don't know if that's Pixar trying to get some religious undertones in there or not, but it certainly fits. We worship God because He is God. He's worthy of us getting up in the morning. He's worthy of us getting dressed for church. He's worthy of us putting all other priorities that we think are so important to the side and worshiping Him. The Bible says, first commandment, I'm the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And anything that comes before God in your worship, the Bible says, is idolatry, and we need to get rid of that. And so we worship God as the body of Christ because He asks us to. And I have to tell you, I'll be really honest with you, in my life, in my spiritual journey, I have put plenty of things ahead of my worship of God. I did it often when I was younger. And God convicted me of that and said, listen, I want you to be in my house, and I want you worshiping me with all of your brothers and sisters, because that's what I've made you to do. And that's the second reason why He wants to be worshiped. He made us. There was a time when you were not. There was a time when you did not exist. Now you do. You came into being because the Lord brought you into being. You are His creation. The person sitting next to you is His creation. In fact, that's how we know that the Lord has a sense of humor. If you don't believe that, look at the person sitting next to you. He has a sense of humor. Now, just teasing for most of you. He made you, and we should worship Him because He made us. And because we are His people, the psalm says we are His people, the sheep of His pastures. I love this line right here. We are His peeps and His sheeps. Isn't that good? That'll preach right there. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And we belong to Him. And we worship Him because He's good. The psalm also tells us that. 3,000 years ago, the author of Psalm 100 wrote, "For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Do you know today that the Lord is good? Do you know that for sure?
Yeah.
If God doesn't seem good to you, if you're sitting out there saying, "You know what? Nah, God just doesn't seem fair. There's times when God just doesn't really look all that good to me." You're not looking in the right places. God gave you life. That's a good thing, isn't it? God gave you breath. He gave you hope. He gave you skills. He gave you desires. He gave you water to drink. He gave you food to eat. He gave you the ocean to swim in and to enjoy. He gave you mountains to hike. He gave you clothes to wear and friends to enjoy. God deserves to be worshipped because He's good. The Bible goes on to say that every good thing comes from the Lord. There's not a single thing in your life that you think is good that came from someplace other than God. Do you understand that? Everything you have that is good, He gave you. And we are His people. And so if God wants to be worshipped, then how does He want to be worshipped? Because, you know, that's a source of great controversy in our churches today, and it has certainly found its way into our church at times, right? How does He want to be worshipped? And I think what happens is we get all worked up over different things that really, I think, are opinion rather than Scripture. Listen to what he says in verse 1. God wants to be worshipped loudly. Not even one amen? Okay, I thought I might get one, you know. He wants to be worshipped loudly. Now that doesn't mean we have a rock concert. That doesn't mean that we go crazy. That means that we ought to have this projection. We ought to loudly shout our praises to Him. I know some people, you ask them what their religion is and say, "Well, that's a private matter. I really shouldn't be talking about, you know, that's something you just keep between." No. The Bible says you worship Him loudly. According to the one who made us and the one who made our worship and, you know, for lack of better terms, religion, He wants us to let others know about Him. He doesn't like it when we just keep to ourselves and we're quiet. He likes it when we're loud. I know that sometimes we like it soft and meditative. I do too. That's one volume. But another volume is loud, you know? And the Bible says God likes them both. I can't say I always do. I mean, I've been to some concerts where I walk out of there and go, "Huh? What did you say?" You know? But when it comes to our worship, the Bible teaches us, listen to this, Psalm 29, the God of glory thunders, but He also whispers. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, right, he enters on a donkey, and they're laying their cloaks, and they're laying palm branches down, and all the people were gathered alongside of the road, and they're going, "Hosanna, Hosanna." No! "Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of..." They're shouting. And Jesus said, "You know what? If you don't praise Me the way that I want to be praised, if you do that, or if you don't do that, the rocks are going to cry out." I don't want rocks crying out because I'm a little bit wimpy in my worship. Here's an assignment for you today. When you get in your car, here's what I want you to do, all right? I want you to dial in some worship music. I want you to crank it up. If you're single, crank it up as loud as you can stand it, and you sing at the top of your lungs as loud as you can stand it. You're going to pull up to a stoplight next to somebody. Somebody's going to look at you, and they're going to think you're nuts. Trust me, I know. But God will get the glory. God will get the glory. If you're married, crank it up that both of you can sing so loudly you don't care that your spouse is off key. Just sing aloud, you know? If you have kids, shock them by cranking it up and sing louder than they can. Do that on the way home. I guarantee you your children are, they're either going to love it or you think you're nuts, but God's going to be praised, and they're going to remember this day for the rest of their lives. I can promise you that. Second, worship God through service. The NIV translates this, worship the Lord with gladness. And the idea of worship is such an important thing that the Hebrew language has seven words for this one different idea. Abad is the one Hebrew word that is used here, and it means to work, to serve, to till. It's an active word. It says that we need to be worshiping the Lord with gladness through our service. You know, one way that we worship is by loudly proclaiming His praise. Another way is by serving Him with gladness. If you're going to serve, how should you do it? Well, I don't really want to work in the nursery this week, but it's my week, so I guess I will. You're not worshiping the Lord through service, if that's what you're doing, right? You serve Him with gladness. Well, I don't really want to visit these people today, but I guess I ought to. I'm part of the visitation team. Do it with gladness. You know, if you are begrudgingly serving, you might as well not even serve, you know? Personally, I've never served anywhere in ministry where I didn't feel like I got more out of it than I put into it. Can you agree with that, those of you who serve in ministry? Don't you always feel better? Don't you always feel like you're the one who has gained more than you've given every time you serve someone? Look at the second part of verse 2. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. And so when we come before the Lord, we do so with joyful songs. And His favorite place to do that is here in church. God loves it when His people come together to sing His praises. I think it's His favorite part of the week. You know, I know God's not bound by time, but I'm sure that on Sundays around the world when the church collectively is gathering together and they're all singing praises, God loves it. And He says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. But there's a step that has to take place before we can get there, and that is in our preparation for worship. So for the remaining part of our time, I want to talk about that very quickly. How to prepare for worship. How many of you you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but how many of you feel like you come to worship prepared for worship? Or how many of us really kind of just like, well, you know, I'll get there or whatever. Come ready. That's the first thing that you need to understand, how to prepare for worship. Come ready. For people who don't think much about it ahead of time, here's what can happen to you on Sunday morning, and I'm just going to be, trust me when I share these stories with you, they're not personal stories, nor have I been talking to any of your parents or siblings. You stay up late watching a movie on Saturday, or you stay out late with friends. Either way, the alarm goes off on Sunday morning. You wake up tired, maybe a little bit stressful, maybe a little bit cranky. For parents, maybe it's like on Sunday morning, you're running the gauntlet. You know, your daughter wants to wear her favorite dress. Her favorite dress isn't clean, so you either have to wash it or you have to talk her into wearing something she doesn't really want to wear, and you argue back and forth, and you finally decide to worship and you get here, or to wash it, and you get here late. Anybody experienced that before? Don't raise your hand. Your son is starving, and he's on you for fixing his breakfast. But you haven't had a shower yet, and he's mad at you because you haven't fixed him the breakfast that he wants, and so at the last minute he has to wolf down the cereal before being dragged out the door. On the drive over, the family gets into an argument. By the time you reach the church's door, nobody feels great. You know? You can't enter his gates with thanksgiving because you're you're biting your lip trying not to say something to somebody in your family that ticked you off on the way to church. I heard Bob Russell say one time, him and his wife used to fight every Sunday on the way to church. He said, we figured it out. We started driving separately. You know, I don't recommend that. Do not recommend that, you know. Here's a better way to prepare maybe for worship. When you're coming Sunday morning, what if you went to bed at an earlier time on Saturday night? What if you decided, you know what, I'm going to come ready. Ron's not completely nuts, and I'm going to give this a shot, what he's saying. You go to bed at a decent time on Saturday night. You get a full night's sleep. You come rested and ready for worship. And what if, to save time and to save stress in the morning, that every family member, the night before church, pick out your outfit of what you're going to wear the next day, the night before, have it laying out and ready to go? Just a thought. What if, to save more stress, you set the breakfast table? Listen, it doesn't have to be bacon and eggs and toast and French toast and pancakes and all that. Put a box of cereal out on the table. Set the bowls out. Don't set the milk out. But set this out and have it all ready the night before so that when you wake up, it's just smooth, just ready to go. What if you left home 15 minutes earlier than you normally do? And you can do that if you pick your clothes the night before and you get breakfast set up the night before, right? And you leave about 15 minutes before you normally would, and you get here a little bit earlier and you're able to relax for a few minutes. You're able to grab a cup of coffee and a donut and just relax and maybe stand out there while you're drinking your coffee and eating your donut, and you're watching the announcements scroll across the screen. You're just enjoying, and you're maybe fellowshipping with other people. You're able to come in here and get the seat you want rather than, you know, have to settle because someone else stole your seat because we combined, right? But why don't you get here early, get the seat you want? I think it would make an amazing difference in our worship if we start planning in advance to be ready for worship. You know? You do that 3 or 4 weeks in a row, before you know it, man, it's going to be a habit. Get here and ready for the first song, ready to worship. And then as you get prepared, start with thanksgiving. That's what God says He wants. You know, when we were kids, we were always taught to say what? Please and thank you, right? Please and thank you. But God is saying, Not that that's wrong for the context of parenthood, but God is saying, it's just a little bit flip-flopped in church. You come in with thanksgiving, and then maybe during the invitation time or prayer time or time you're meditating, that's when we make our requests known to God, and we say, please, God. Maybe at the end of the service, if someone wants to come forward and surrender their lives to Jesus, or they've got some prayer concerns, they want maybe the elders of the church to pray for them, or they want to meet in our prayer room after the service, come in first with thanksgiving, and then say, please, God. And then step 3, leave changed. Leave changed. In Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 9, God says this to His people about worship. When the people of the land come before the Lord at the appointed festivals, whoever enters by the north gate to worship is to go out the south gate. No one is to return through the gate by which they entered, but each is to go out the opposite gate. I think that's where that old superstition of leaving, you know, the same door. I don't know if it was just going against God or whatever the case may be, but did anybody ever tell you that when you were a kid? Oh, you got to don't go out a different door. I don't know if they're just trying to tick God off or what. But why would God say this? Why would He say, go out a different door? I mean, after all, you parked your camel or your donkey probably at the door you want to come back out of, right? Why leave through a different door? Scholars believe that God said this because what he's trying to communicate to his people is that nobody ought to leave worship in the same way that they came in. If you came in mildly committed, partially committed in your marriage, God is saying, I want you to leave totally committed to your marriage. If you came in slightly in love with God, you ought to leave definitely in love with God. If you came in not knowing God personally, you ought to leave knowing Him as your Lord and your Savior. Everybody ought to leave changed. That's what worship is for. You know, worship is for us to have the opportunity to express our praise and our thanksgiving to God, but there ought to be an effect for us too, and we ought to walk out of this place differently than how we came in. The way that should happen most Sundays is to leave committed to apply whatever you learned today to your life. And what we've learned from the lesson today is that God wants us to be worshiped loudly. So here's what I want you to do. This week, and I got to be honest, I was so looking forward to today. Last week to me seemed like Easter. I shared that, you know, the place was packed and there was this excitement. And again, it kind of, you know, it feels that way as well. And man, I'm ready to worship Him loudly. I'm ready to shout. I'm ready to be excited. I hope that you are. I hope you can come that way next week. God wants you to worship Him by serving Him. How do you serve Him? By serving others. Sign up today. Volunteer for a ministry or to go someplace with people, to get to know people a little bit better. God wants to be worshiped in church, so be here. Be here on time and be ready, expecting something from the Lord. I don't do this a lot, but I want to do something a little bit different today as we close. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And this prayer is one that, if you don't want to pray it, don't pray it, but it's one that I think is will be useful for you in how you approach every single day, and also how you can approach your worship. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come on back up here, and we're going to pray this prayer, and then we're going to sing a song of decision. And if there's anyone that has a decision that they want to make today. Boy, wasn't it awesome to see three people give their lives to Christ and be baptized into Him last week? Amen. And maybe there's someone this morning that wants to make that decision, or maybe there's someone who wants to publicly come forward and say, I want to identify with this body of believers at East Columbus Christian Church. But would you pray this with me if you want to? Okay, Lord Jesus, You are worthy of my praise today and every day. I will worship You, Lord, and I want to serve You, Lord. I give You my life, and I affirm that You are God. I want to be one of Your people. Forgive me. Use me. I am Yours. In Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and you want to make that decision to follow Christ, we believe that you do that by confessing Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and by repenting of your sins, and by being baptized by immersion into Jesus Christ. That symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And the Bible says you need to do that. And it doesn't end there, that you continue to live your life for Him. Let's